Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship this morning at Wilmslow Methodist Church, especially welcome to anybody who's worshipping with us for the first time. It's lovely to see so many people here for our first communion service all together since the beginning of the pandemic. Special welcome to the Reverend Bob Richards, who is taking care of us for this year while we don't have our own minister, and he will be leading our communion service. There will also, for the first time, be coffee after the service this morning. There will be tea and coffee served at separate tables. Please keep distance from each other. Cost is £1 for either tea or coffee. And we're just going to have to feel our way a bit to begin with, see how it works out. But you'll all be very welcome to join us for coffee after the service. And now briefly, Gwyn has a word about GDPR.
And I know it brings a heavy heart to everybody to be listening to more about GDPR. For those who don't understand or don't know the latest update, we're required by law to make sure that we regularly have up-to-date contact details for everybody who comes into church. And more importantly than that, for those of you who receive email communications, we actually need your explicit consent to keep receiving these emails because of a change in the law. So thank you for all those people who have responded to my email. I know some people don't receive emails. We still need to have confirmation that you live where you still live, I'm afraid, so we keep your details up to date. But for those who maybe had the email go into junk, which I know was a problem, and still would like to receive emails, I've got a form that I would like those who haven't already responded to me to fill out. That either needs a confirmation that you're still at the same address, or for those who do receive emails and want to continue receiving emails, I need you to give the explicit consent at the bottom. Quite straightforward. I'll be at the door on the way out. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be with you, to share in worship with you. We come now to worship God, our hearts ready to praise Him and to receive from Him. We worship God as His community in this place. May His Spirit move among us. Our first hymn, Eternal God, Your Love's Tremendous Glory.
Eternal God, Your
we share together in praying the words of the Collect for Purity. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer of confession. Merciful God, we deviate from the path you set before us. We can be selfish. We can lack compassion. We do not respond to your love as we should. We fail to use our gifts and abilities in your service. Together we say, Father, we ask you to forgive us our sin in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear then the word of grace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. We're going to hear our gospel reading for today.
The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, What were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Amen.
It's interesting to look at the preceding verses to what we've just heard in the Gospel. The story of the Transfiguration, followed by the healing by Jesus of a very sick young boy. In both of these passages, we see Jesus' power, majesty, and glory demonstrated in vivid ways. In the section before those, we have an earlier occasion when Jesus speaks of his forthcoming suffering and death, and Peter's declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. In today's passage, Jesus again speaks of his suffering and death, when the disciples either don't understand or don't want to understand. And as they travel, they talk about what they do know about. Power in human terms, and in particular the pecking order amongst the disciples. Perhaps the three who had accompanied Jesus up the mountain of Transfiguration were asserting their own importance over those who stayed below and hadn't been able to heal the boy, later helped by Jesus. In avoiding the serious issue of Jesus' suffering and death, they also fail to consider the implications of that happening for themselves. This, of course, still applies to followers of Jesus today. When we think about our faith and serving him, the shadow of the cross is there for us, as it was for the disciples and for Jesus himself. I'm reminded of a situation many years ago now, when the captain of the BB company at my church, and the company of which I was one of the officers, was about to sit down in our church hall at a wedding reception. He was about to sit down and have his lunch, and then whatever followed on afterwards. It came to his notice that some boys from the BB company were in the car park, and he went out to find out what was going on. Someone had forgotten to turn up to take them to a cross-country event. And so Cliff, being a humble man of God that he was, forgot the lunch he was supposed to have and the wedding reception he was a part of, and took the boys to the event they were meant to go to. For him, serving those lads was far more important than doing something which he would enjoy. We often hear stories, or sometimes hear stories in the news, of somebody who has been grievously hurt, perhaps a child been murdered or accidentally killed, who is prepared publicly to say, because they are Christians, that they forgive the one who did the deed. There are those who, for the sake of the gospel, will leave the work they're doing and go to do something else, far perhaps more humble or far less well paid. The service of God, servants of God. Recently, two Methodist ministers in Nigeria were killed in a terrorist attack, and a couple of weeks before that, another minister was killed. Nigeria has been declared the most dangerous country for Christian people. More Christians have died there than anywhere else in the world in recent years. The implications of our following Jesus may be anything from missing a lunch to offering forgiveness to moving into a new sphere of activity to losing our lives. And that needs to be considered. We're servants of the servant. When Jesus then places a child in the midst of the 12 and hugs the child, it's a visual lesson for them. It says power and majesty are in welcoming one such as this child, and in doing so, therefore, welcoming Jesus and the one who sent him, God. The lesson for those who were there and for us is about not seeking status or greatness, but not also ignoring those without status or greatness, the poor, the weak, the insignificant of society. Jesus' ministry constantly upset the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, and others, because he paid attention to the disregarded, the marginalized, the outsiders, to women. I suppose this raises the question about who, in Jane Williams' words, are the invisible people in our lives. The cleaner, the shop worker, the big issue seller, or whoever. How ready are we to welcome those who are different? Our word welcome is apparently made up of two old English words, will, W-I-L, and cumen, C-U-M-E-N. So will cumen originally meant, it's good you have come. The idea of welcome is, it's good you are here, or it's good you have come here. hospitality and building community are basic to our Christian heritage. They go way back into the Old Testament. Nehemiah, when he went back to Jerusalem because the walls were falling, had fallen down, the gates had been burnt down, he organized the rebuilding of the walls. He organized the building of new gates. But he spent a lot of time building community so that the people felt regarded, important for who they were as God's people. Weakness and vulnerability may not appeal too much to us, but Jesus is showing that this is the nature of God, revealed in his coming as a baby, completely human, subject to the ways of frail and fallible humanity. This is the way God fashions our salvation, through the incarnation, the coming of Jesus in human form, and our liberation into Jesus' ways of thinking, being, and living. The incarnation is about people learning to live alongside one another, even when they differ in their opinions on certain issues. And we are entrusted with the teaching to show the world how to live the incarnate life, to learn to live alongside each other with the understanding that it's good you are here. That is welcome. God's grace is sufficient for all this, so we don't have to earn our place. No need for being the best. No need to be successful or the greatest. Can we accept, each of us, that we're loved, chosen, forgiven, free? Not everyone can. Our communion table is open to everyone who would like to share in receiving bread and wine. But some don't want to because they feel unworthy. Although, of course, we are all unworthy. We are as accepted as the child was that Jesus put in the midst of the 12. Much of our work is in serving the wider community through outreach activities, and this is very right and proper. We have an incarnational purpose in being Christ for those who don't yet know him. Building community, looking outwards, is a significant work that deserves our wholehearted support and backing. In those we welcome Jesus, who is present in creation, in the people around us, in vulnerability and need. It's sad when we are too busy or distracted to notice that such folk are there, but they become invisible to us. I quote Tom Greggs, a minister who wrote in Theology Everywhere, "We should seek to form community because in that we share and move in the movements of God's grace. We must pray ever and again for the grace of God to set right our relationships with one another." I wonder whether the reading which we've heard this morning and the thoughts which I've shared with you are fitting for this particular time when things are beginning to happen and start up again, and many of us are getting involved after a year or more of a slower paced life when so much had to stop. I'm sure we need to allow time not only to be good to ourselves, which I think is both mindfulness and Christian, but also time to be, to listen, to be challenged by what we observe and experience. A time for prayerful thinking about what is appropriate, wise and right for us to be doing now, both as individuals and as a community together. One of the other readings for today was from the letter of James, and I just want to quote two verses. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. May God bless you and all of us as we live in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we continue to celebrate the joys and strengths of the cross and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. We thank you that death could not hold Jesus, and that he leads the way to eternal life in your love. Your promises hold true, and your power has brought Jesus to be alive forevermore, able to minister to us and all people, calling us to respond and follow him. Help us, we pray, as we continue our pilgrimage of faith under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In our prayers, we bring you our concerns and hopes. We pray for our broken world, where violence walks the streets and can be present in people's homes, where greed leads to some enjoying a life that is at the expense of others, where ambition can lead to corruption of those in power at the expense of many who are treated harshly or inhumanely, where ecosystems are damaged by careless attitudes to creation. Lord, we pray for our world, that there will be a change of heart and attitude in those who pervert the purpose you have for humanity and its well-being. We pray for people whose lives are broken by oppression, persecution, and war, remembering the people of Afghanistan, those who have left, those who want to leave, and those who will have to stay. Those whose lives are broken by abuse, sickness, disability, or bereavement. Praying for any known to us, and those who are a part of this church community. Lord, we pray for those involved in the ministry of healing and healthcare in this country and around the world, remembering especially those working in extreme circumstances. We pray for the church, that the gospel message will be proclaimed in worship and service, in mission and ministry, that its working for unity will be strengthened and draw more people to believe, that preparations for the continuing work as times grow easier will be made with care and prayerfulness. Lord, may your church follow its calling equipping its people for all that you wish to be accomplished at this time. We pray for ourselves, our families, and our loved ones. And all our prayers we offer in the name of our Lord Jesus, crucified and raised, alive and with us always. Amen. We join together in praying the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be always with you. Our communion hymn is number 588, I Come With Joy, A Child of God. If I could just explain that when we come to sharing the bread and the wine, the communion steward will bring the bread to you. You'll find that on the trays there is bread inside small cupcake cases. If you would each take a cupcake case with the bread inside it and keep a hold of it until we all have some, and then we'll eat together, sharing as we do in unity. The wine will be brought round to you. The glasses are spaced out on the rack so that as you take a glass, you won't touch others that are on the rack. Again, when we all have some wine, we'll drink together a sign of our unity under God. If you could put after the service the cupcake holders in the bin near the door, and the glasses will be collected up by the communion stewards. We come to our thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. By your creative word, you brought the world to birth. In your generous love, you made the human family, that we might see your glory and forever live in your presence. When we wandered from you in our sin, you sought us with your steadfast love and did not give us up. You sent your Son to be our Saviour and Deliverer. He died on the cross, but death could not hold him. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed indeed is the Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his friends took bread, gave you thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup, gave you thanks, and gave it to them, and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for everyone, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. May Jesus Christ be praised. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness you give us in Christ, for your grace which is everlasting, for your love which is eternal. We drink this wine in memory of Jesus. Amen. We join together in our post-communion prayer. Let us pray. God of our salvation, we thank you for our communion with the risen and ascended Christ and with all who love him on earth and in heaven. We pray that, strengthened by his grace, we may serve you faithfully all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn for this service, "Let Us Build a House Where Love Can Dwell," number 409.
Oh.
worship is ended, our service begins. May we go in faith, in love, and with hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each of us, with those whom we love and those for whom we pray, this day and forevermore. Amen.